Okay. Ooh, yes. Amen. Praise God. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you that you're here with us right now. We ask, Lord God, that you will manifest yourself, that you will open the eyes of our heart to see, the ears of our heart to hear, to know your voice, to hear you, and to have revelation of your plans and purposes for our lives today. You've called us, and you've chosen us, and you have a destiny for us, and I just pray you'd unveil that destiny before us this morning as we come to hear what you have to say. Just pray you'd anoint my words and my lips, and Lord God, that each person would take from this morning that thing which is the thing that you want to impress upon their hearts, that their spirits would be awake and open right now. Be nothing, no hindrances or blockages stopping people seeing and hearing your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. And well, we've been looking at this prophetic timetable, and this prophetic timetable was given to me on my fast, and when I spent a lot of time in the presence of God and in the heavenly realms, and over a period of time, God revealed some things about what's to come and how, as a church, we need to prepare. It's really important because actually we are going to gear up where we go in what God is calling us to do according to the timetable that God is pressing out. And each of these areas over here are periods of time in which God is calling his church, not just this church, the church, to come into relationship with him to fulfill their destiny. And each level is a time period of what God is doing. Each level is a level of increased holiness and increased power, increased revelation and knowledge of God, right up to when Jesus returns. And before he returns, there is going to be a shaking, such a shaking of this system of the world, that God's kingdom, which will remain, will be raised up. And the house of the Lord will be raised up above all the other mountains, and it will be so different from what it is now. And in between, there's a whole lot of things which obviously I've shared in the past, so I can't go into it in any more depth now. But after Jesus returns, we go into our eternal destiny, the age to come. And that age to come also is beyond most people's imaginations or things to think about. We have a destiny to fulfill which does not just last for the time we have on earth as it is right now. Because when Jesus returns, he will put the earth back into the central place, into the kingdom of God, where it was removed and put into time to restrict the effect that sin could have. And when time finishes, that effect is ended, and the whole world will go back, cleansed with fire, and brought back into the place where spirit and physical realms overlap and outwork, because we get a new physical body, which is a body which is immortal, to operate in that realm. When the angels fell, in terms of the galaxies, we've been talking, singing this morning about having the stars in his hand, all those 400 billion galaxies that are out there. When Satan, the light bearer, fell into sin, light was removed. And so black holes that are at the center of most of those galaxies need to be filled with light. Guess who's going to get the opportunity of doing that? Us. Because we're sons of light. And it's like at the moment there's a river of anti-dark matter flowing through the universe which needs to be transformed. Guess who gets to transform it? Us. If Jesus created galaxies, guess who gets to create galaxies? Us. It's just take the blinkers off your mind and actually see what the Word of God actually says. Because all this stuff is in there. And God is calling us to a destiny which is way beyond this physical realm. And I'm really excited about that. I don't know about you. But I've seen some of it. I've been some of those places. I know what it's like to be to other planets and see some stuff. It is awesome. God wants us to be removed from the physical restraints that are on us because of our mind and way we think. Because when you go into the heavenly realms, your mind gets in the way. It's like to start with, until you learn to see things in that realm and to operate in that realm. And it is really, really exciting, the stuff that's to come. But we have to be prepared. And this process is a process of preparation, of transformation, to bring us into a place where we are the manifest sons of God, where we are manifested as sons of God on earth as it is in heaven and then beyond. But we have all have a choice whether we want to be involved in that destiny or not. God gives us that choice, and he wants us to outwork that choice in the purposes of God. And we've been looking at destiny, the kingdom realms, the realms of heaven. It's like Hebrew understanding is that it is as close to me as the air I breathe. My hand is at hand. So that's how close it is. And I can turn into the kingdom of light, or I can turn into the kingdom that's in darkness, because there isn't a kingdom of darkness. The Satan has no kingdom. He just brings darkness to the kingdom that we should be operating from. That's why we need to go and bring light. Well, we can turn into that. Two choices, tree of life, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's always been two trees, two pathways. We can choose. Now, that choice is a free will choice. This isn't fate. Your destiny is not forced upon you. It isn't fate. It is a choice, whether you are involved in it or not. That is a picture, which I'm obviously not going to go into now, of the heavenly realms and all the different realms there, and places where we can rule as kings, rule as lords, rule as sons. And God wants us to come into that place to transform the atmosphere of the earth and to bring light to that place of darkness and the place under the earth too, where we need to access. It's our right to rule there. Now, keys. We need to know God intimately. If we do not know God intimately, we will not know ourselves. And if we don't know ourselves, we will not be able to fulfill our destiny. So this is linked together in relationship. We need to know our identity as kings and priests, which gives us authority to access all the things we need to do in our destiny. We need to live according to the principles of God's kingdom. That gives us to rule over our sphere of operation, our own house, our own physical house of our body, if you like, where God dwells. We need to rule and manifest the kingdom around us. We also need to preside over heavenly courts for our own life to bring the mandates that are ours into physical manifestation. And this is something we all can do if we learn. It's not magic. It's not mysticism. It is just our birthright to have access to the heavenly realms, because we are spirit. We were all made a spirit. Now we need to be transformed into a son from glory to glory. That's the process we're in right now. And be manifested as sons on the earth. That is our destiny. And then to be manifested beyond that into the age to come. Who am I? Where did I come from? I need to understand that. If I don't know where I come from, I'm not going to understand why I'm here today or where I'm going tomorrow. Now, I'm not going to go into all the other things I talked about the timeline last week. But we need to understand the nature of my creator, of our creator, and my creation, how I was created, if I'm going to enter into the fullness of my destiny. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And that meant intimate knowledge, not one way either. Our spirit came out of God, and our spirit knew God before we existed here. Before you were born, I consecrated you, set you apart for a purpose, and I have appointed you, and here was Jeremiah, appointed for a prophet to the nations, and each of you is appointed to your destiny. And it's really, really exciting when you get hold of it. You know, I used to like a song by U2, Bono, called, you know, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. And I used to sing that because actually I meant that. I knew in my spirit that I had not found what I was looking for. I had not found the fullness of my destiny. Actually, I can't sing that and mean it anymore, because actually I've started to find my destiny. And my destiny was out in the realms of the heavens. It's like, it's not written in the stars, but actually it's to be in the stars, because we're to shine like the stars, it says in the Word of God. So we have been appointed, and every single person, to fulfill a purpose in the whole eternal destiny of God. Psalm 139:16, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, so there was an unformed formed substance before it was formed. That was spirit, because we were created a living spirit before we were formed as a substance here on the earth. And you're in your book or your scroll were all written the days that were ordained for me. So there is a scroll which actually says all the things that God has ordained for our lives, and we can see it, and we can feel it, and we can line up with it, and we can experience it, but you've got to find it. And it takes effort to find it. There's a verse, I think, in Proverbs where it says, you know, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search out a matter. And God wants us to search it out, to search out our destiny. And it says there, when as yet there was not one of them, it's the things that were ordained, the days of God, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, how vast is the sum of them. God has such vast thoughts about us. It's like, you know, when we were singing about, you know, our heart being in his hands, literally our heart came out of his heart. We came out of his heart, out of the thoughts that he had for us within his heart. And it's great when you start to discover what they are. Now, we saw this picture last week in terms of what happened when you were first formed in this atmosphere, this place, where one sperm overcome 3 million others to succeed, and you were born a overcomer. Think about it. 1 in 3 million. So you already succeeded and overcame 2,900,000 and whatever more other obstacles to you being born and you coming into who you are. Now, the world robs us of that and tries to put us down and keep us thinking that we cannot overcome, we can't succeed, we're always going to fail, but God says you are destined for success. You have 23 + 23 chromosomes, which is your DNA record of your parents and their history, which goes back to Adam, ultimately, I guess. And our heart carries that record of past generations. But what happens in that point of conception, literally, light is bursting upon us in our cell, that first cell, that conceived cell. Light bursts on it. And they've seen this when they've looked at these things under a microscope, electron microscope, and they see these things. They see light coming in. And it carried the record, that scroll of the DNA, which was beyond and before you were formed in physical substance. It carried the record of your destiny. Each of us has a destiny within that initial cell of our life. And of course, that cell divides. So every cell carries the record of our destiny. But our heart particularly is important, because after about 15 multiplications, the first cell that was formed implodes and becomes our heart. And it carries that record. And that's why the heart is so important. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. It's really important. The heart is a thinking organ, not just something that pumps blood around the body. To get hold of that, our heart carries a record of our eternal destiny. And those two things compete. And we'll look at that a little bit more on that in a minute. Okay. So the scroll is a record of your eternal destiny. Psalm 40 verse 7, then I said, behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. And Jesus, this was talking about Jesus, but we can equally say that we're all sons of God, therefore we're all brothers of Jesus. It was written of me, I delight to do your will. O my God, your law is within my heart. And it is in our heart that we have to discover who we are, and discover that destiny. We come with a frequency, a vibration, and every single one of us has got a unique frequency and vibration, a unique sound, a unique song that we carry, that all together forms the harmony of heaven. There's a song and a harmony in heaven that we are called to participate in. And sometimes we hear the song and the sound that's coming out of heaven, and we start to resonate with it and join in with it. There's a color and a fragrance and literally a formula in which have encoded abilities that God has for us to fulfill our destiny. Now, our DNA vibrates with that song, which is a record of the chaos it was created in. But Our scroll also vibrates with the record of that destiny. Now, the question is, who do we come into harmony with? Every single one of us has a choice whether we come into harmony with our eternal destiny or we come into harmony with the record of our past. Our choice, we make that choice, and it will determine our future. Okay, now these are the different scrolls or books there are in the Bible. I want to just touch on this a bit. First, there is the record of your eternal destiny, which was written. Then there's the book of life. The book of life contains a record of every person who surrendered their life to the Lordship of Jesus. Become a Christian, has been born again by the Spirit of God. Contains a record of each person. If you're in that book, your sin is expunged and wiped out under the blood of Jesus. If you're not in that book, you continue to be held according to the sin that's in your life, and you will have to answer for it eventually. But there's also a scroll, and it's the scroll of our life, the life that we've lived. Now, for believers, those who are in the Lamb's Book of Life, that is not to do with sin, but it's to do with a record of whether we've come into our destiny or not, whether we fulfill God's purpose for our lives. And I've got to ask you a question. Where's your name written? Are you sure your name today is written in the book of life? Because if you've not given and surrendered your life to Jesus, received forgiveness from your past, had your past wiped away and given a brand new future, then your life, your name is not written in that book. And if your name is not written in that book, you have an opportunity of doing that today. But what is written on our scroll of life? If we're believers, if we know Jesus, what's written on the scroll of our life? Is it a mirror image of the thing that's on our scroll of destiny? Well, I would say probably no, from my personal experience, having been there and seen it. Actually, it isn't, but God can change that, and we can change it. So, okay, the book of life, Revelation 20:11. I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, it's God. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. So this is the book of the record of our life, for those who aren't believers. And another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged. Now that means those who are dead still in their sin. Talking about people who are Christians, talking about people who aren't, but there's no reason why anybody needs to be in this place, because Jesus has died for every single person. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. What happened then? Verse 15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You do not want to go into the lake of fire. It's like I've personally experienced hell. I was taken there, and it is not a place I would recommend anyone to go. Seriously, it is pretty hot, uncomfortable, and a place which is designed and destined for Satan, not humans. It's never our destiny to go and end up in that place. But we've been given a choice to where we expend eternity, with God or apart from him. It's our choice, and that choice has an eternal significance. So if you don't want to be in that book, in that place, then surrender your life to God. But the scroll of our life, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may be recompensed for his deeds in the body. In other words, when we're part of his body, as we become part of the body of Christ, according to what he's done, good or bad. It's not talking about sin. It's talking about motives of our hearts. We can do good things from wrong motives. We can do bad things from good motives. Only God can judge the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. But we have to give testimony to it, and we have to see what it is. I've been to this place. That was the most scariest place I've ever been in the heavenly realms, before the living consuming fire and the eyes that were coming out of that fire. Literally, I shook, physically shook, everything shook. But the scroll, which was written on front and back, was opened in that place, and I saw my life. I saw all the good things, and God showed me all the things where I'd lined my life up according to my destiny. I also saw all the other things where I'd missed opportunities, where there was lots of things I could have done if I'd been obedient, where I missed things, and I saw it all. And the fire of God came and purged it and gave me a fresh opportunity. Every one of us can go to that place. A question again, does our scroll of life match up with our scroll of destiny? Because that's God's intention, and he gives us an opportunity to do it. Our eternal position, whether in the outer courts, the inner courts, the holy place, or the Holy of Holies, is determined by what is on that scroll. Because in the heavenly realms, there are different places. We don't all get lumped in together. Your 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 120 years, however many you're going to live, eternity, bottom line is, it will determine what happens in that eternal place. And there is those who will be in the outer courts, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, it says. So it's not talking about hell. It's talking about a place in darkness, hell hidden dark. Flames are not dark, they produce light and heat. But there is inner courts, there's a holy place, and the Holy of Holies. It's like, I know where I want to be. I want to be in the Holy of Holies. I want to be in that place in the presence of God, where he invites me to come and fellowship with him in that place. And then from there, it says that we have responsibilities in the age to come, which are determined by whether we're faithful here. So it's really important that we get this stuff sorted out. 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, it's Paul talking, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. Each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the only way we can get into heaven and into a relationship with God, no other way, only through Jesus. But we have a choice of how we build our lives when we become Christians. It says, now if any man builds on the foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, good stuff, stuff which lines up with our eternal destiny. So it's described gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw. Stuff which actually is just stuff we do in the flesh. Not necessarily all bad stuff. Just stuff that we're doing from our own heart, our own motives, our own desires, even to do good, but they don't come from the heart of God for us. Question is, what are we building with? And we need to answer that question. Verse 13, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. You know, I've been there, I've seen that fire, and I've experienced it. And actually, it's not bad, but it is quite scary. And if any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. That is an eternal reward. That is an eternal part of the destiny that you will get. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as so as through fire. This is something all of us as believers are going to have to face. Now, I would prefer to face that than the other. Okay? Because after God does this, then we move on. The other place, you stay in that place forever. Where will you be in eternity? It's up to you to answer that. Now, let's go back to our destiny, what happened. At conception, our heart carries the scroll of the record of the 46 chromosomes, and it carries the scroll of destiny. Our soul and body grew around our scroll, if you like. So our body surrounds it, and it became lost, unable to be recognized, because we're all born separated from God. The flesh gets programmed by its environment. We grow up as kids, learning how to understand the world around us. It's like the ear is the very first thing that gets formed. It's the first nerve that gets formed, and it vibrates from that point until even just after death. It keeps on vibrating, because we pick up things and we hear things. Even in the womb, children pick up what's being said. They pick up and are sensitive to atmospheres and words in that place. And that ear is actually connected by nerves to all the organs of the body, except the spleen. I haven't got time to go into that right now. But we learn distance, space, and time. I'm looking at you now, but actually, I don't see you there, do I? I see you on the back of my retina. as an upside down image that my brain interprets as you being over there. So I learn space and time and distance as I grow. So I learn to see in this realm because I'm not connected to the spiritual realm. But I learn this realm. Baby can see about 10 inches to start with, can see its mother's face and learns that is my mum. And it learns that that's 10 inches. After a few months, it gets a bit bigger and a bit bigger until after about, I think, 5 or 6 months, they can see full distance. But in that time, a child learns to understand the realm that they live in. Spiritually, we never learned. When we get born again, our spirit comes alive and it has to relearn how to engage in the spiritual realm that we also have access to. Now, hardly anyone teaches on it. Hardly anyone's been there. So for a long time, we've struggled as Christians to live in a natural realm with a bit of spiritual realm thrown in when we get into a great place of worship or things like that. God wants us to live in dual realms of heaven and earth, manifesting the authority and the power of the spirit that we are and that destiny out into this world. Our heart carries the record of the past and the present. So all the things that have happened to you in your life, which have shaped how you think about yourself, are carried within the heart. And if that is affecting you now, you need to get rid of it. See it transformed, healed, restored, and all the things we know God can do. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So how you think about yourself will be how you live. So when you start thinking about yourself the way God thinks about you, you will live different. We all will. But we've got to start thinking and seeing it in those terms. The heart programs the blood, and the blood goes to the brain and programs our thinking. That's how it works. I haven't got time to prove that, but I could if I had the time. Adam and each of us were spirit beings before. Okay, before what? Before we were physical beings. Adam became a living being when the breath of God was breathed into him. That's something different than a spirit being. But when Adam sinned, he became a human being. He lost the living being status, and he lost the spiritual being status because it died and was separated from God. So Adam became a human being, and hence every single person born since then, other than Jesus, is born a human being. Jesus did not contain an egg from his mother and a sperm from God. He contained an egg and sperm from God in a human body. We're all born human beings with a destiny. Now Jesus, the second Adam, through the victory that he won on the cross, where he defeated all principalities, powers, and every other demonic force, gives us the capacity to be born again, to come into a relationship with God, and to get our destiny back, to become a living spirit being again. We become a spirit being. When we're born again, our spirit becomes born. But actually, we need to go beyond that and become a living being, because we need to have the breath of God breathed into us. God dwells in our spirit, and we become a spirit being, and we can have access to our destiny, and the scroll sits in our heart and starts to then, I can't think of the sound, but starts to vibrate and produces a sound. Okay, that sound, as we start to come into resonance with it, starts to transform our physical and spiritual DNA. We get transformed through communion. That's why we've taken communion, to take on the DNA of God. If you want to read about that in John chapter 6, you can. Intimacy with God starts to form and change us and transform us into that living being that God intended us to be and beyond. Now, the flesh and the spirit start wrestling for control. As soon as you get born again, there is this battle on the inside. Who is in charge? Your soul and body have been in charge for the whole of your life up until that point, and they do not want to give up control. So there is a wrestling match. All of a sudden, your spirit is alive. You're connected with God. God lives on the inside of you, and all of a sudden, there is something starts to happen. And then we get the choices every day, whether we surrender our life to our spirit or to our soul, and that will determine what happens to us. Two resonating testimonies start to compete. I haven't got time to go into what happens with resonant frequency patterns when they come across each other and stuff, but never one day maybe. Galatians 5:17, For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that please you, that you please. So in other words, the things that our spirit wants to do, our flesh tries to get us not to do. So what our spirit pleases, we struggle to do. And the other way, we end up doing the things that our flesh wants, and that means our spirit is not pleased either, nor is God. So this battle goes on. Spiritual warfare within us is winning the contest. And we have to ask ourselves the question, how much of each day are we living according to the purposes and plan of God for our lives, and how much are we just drifting through it, living according to our wits, our flesh? We need daily to surrender our lives to the purposes of God for us. It's a daily choice. I deny myself, take up the cross, and follow Him. Daily. Surrender myself as a living sacrifice daily, and I come into my destiny as I do that. Romans 12:1 talks about that, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our mind is not our brain. Our mind is our heart, subconscious, which is in our heart, not our brain. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Our lining up with the word of God, and the not just the word written, but the word written in our destiny, on our scroll, will produce the thoughts and intentions that come from the heart, whether they come from the spirit or the flesh. Now, I'm going to throw this out there for some of you. This will freak some of you out, but then again. Adam was created a spirit being. He was clothed with glory. Spirit, soul, body. Spirit was on the outside of him, body on the inside. There was no blood because he was a spirit of being of light. Adam had three DNA triple helix strands. 2 plus 7. Now, you think, where does all that come from? Well, I'll give you some idea. Sin causes the DNA light strands, the wavelengths of God that were within us, to be lost. Now we only have 3% of our DNA which is active, 97% inactive, but encoded. Russians, who looked in the Human Genome Project, found that there was language syntax within 97%, and that could be changed and encoded. Adam's spirit imploded into his innermost being when he sinned, and God gave him three layers of skin. God didn't kill an animal and stick a skin around him. He gave him skin, three layers of it, to cover his blood, because blood is congealed light. And you think, where does that come from? Do a Google search. Actually, scientifically, that's what they're saying. Light is a really, really fascinating thing. I haven't got time to go into that one now either. Adam loses his ability to access the spiritual realms. He loses that because the DNA of light was lost to him. Therefore, he becomes body, soul, and the spirit is on the inside. 97% DNA can be reprogrammed because there are five other two-stranded things there that can be reprogrammed. So Adam had three strands containing DNA of physical DNA, two of them, and the other ones were those of light, sound, frequency, and fragrance. Now, God spoke to me about this about 12 months ago, and I haven't shared it for 12 months because I've been meditating on it and going back into the Word of God. And it comes through the fact that there are 9 stones covering Lucifer's body. You can read that in Ezekiel 28, and they represented the 9 strands of DNA. And also in Ezekiel 28, it talks about the fire stones that Satan was on. I've been on those fire stones. There's 9 of them, and there are 9 steps to ascension. Now you think, well, that all sounds a little bit like Buddhism. Well, where do you think Buddhism got its truth from? Everything out there actually is a, what's the word? Counterfeit, or a perversion of the truth. There is the truth, and people have taken truth. It's like you look around the world and look at science fiction and fantasy things right now, they're picking up a sound that's coming out of heaven, and they interpret it through their own soul and produce things but there is truth in what people are actually picking up, because there's a sound of revelation coming out of heaven. Lots of things like that. You see, man was not created perfect. He was created sinless. He was not created to be exactly like Jesus. He would have to still be conformed to the image of Jesus and become like him. So there was a process in which Satan was given the authority to tutor man into becoming like the Son of God. Now, Satan took that knowledge and traded on it, and the angels, third of the angels, followed him into that whole realm. I haven't got time to go into it anymore, but there are three strands that we had: one from the Father, three from the Father, three from Jesus, and three from the Spirit. And then if you look at the high priest's breastplate, there were 12 stones, 9 the same stones that covered Satan's body, and 3 extra stones. That was what got Satan all riled up, because man was to have 3 extra stones. They were the stones of sonship, human DNA. And God wants to bring us back into perfect sonship. So he wants to transform our DNA. He wants to transform us to become again a son of light. Jesus was transfigured here on earth and shone with glory. That is God's intention for all of us, to be shining the glory of God. We can begin to manifest the glory of God through our lives as we become a channel of God living in us. Now again, channeling is something New Age people do, but actually it's just a word which has been, again, misused and misquoted. Bottom line is, if God is on the inside of us, in our spirit, which he is, and he wants to manifest on the outside of us, he needs to come through our soul and body. So we become a channel or a place where we allow him to manifest. It's what Jesus did. The Father in him manifested his works around him. So Jesus did all the miracles and the things that he did. So God is calling us into the same relationship to do the things that we see the Father doing. It all comes from the revelation that comes as we get transformed from one degree of glory to another. 12 stones represents full government, full authority. That is what, if man hadn't sinned, he would have been ascended into different things on those fire stones, into the full image of the Son of God. Now, I know I'm sort of throwing all this stuff out, and I'm not going to explain much more of it, but I want you just to hear it, because actually you need to know this is a process of transformation that God called us to be in. Some of you may never need to know the details, but you need to know you're in a process, and if you surrender to that process, it is not just a, well, my behavior will change. No, everything about me will change. I will be transformed into a son of light. And that will be beyond what most people's thinking is right now. Some of the abilities that are encoded within your DNA, you will get back and restore what Adam had before he sinned. And beyond that, I'm not going down that rabbit trail right now. Transformation, transfiguration, change, metamorphosis are all the same word in the Bible. We're in a process of change. And we need to see that a butterfly is not the same as a caterpillar. But it came from a caterpillar. As sons of God, sons of light, will not be the same as when we were before we get born again and transformed into the image of Jesus. Sons have 12 active DNA strands, actively fulfilling our destinies, a restoration of full supernatural abilities. I love things like heroes and things like that. And there's a whole lot of out there which is showing all the superhero stuff. It's like, I love it, because actually that's some of the stuff I'm going to get. Yeah, because actually I'm going to be like Superman, because that's what Jesus was like. And Jesus did it in the confines of without what we're going to have, because we're going to do greater works than he did, which goes beyond. That's a picture of what happens with a caterpillar becoming a pupa. When you get in that cocoon, literally the caterpillar's DNA is turned to complete mush. So a whole furnace of activity goes on in there, and then a butterfly comes out. Who can fly? You want to fly? So I want to fly in my destiny. I want to be a chicken who's flapping his wings and not going anywhere. I want to be an eagle who's flying, fulfilling everything that God's got for me. Hence, we're seeing eagles and we're seeing things like that in the purposes of God. Nothing against chickens, by the way. Just I like eating them. They're really nice and tasty. But I don't want to be one. 2 Corinthians 3:18, finish with this. We're all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. It's that night and that light and that knowledge is shining into our hearts to transform us and bring us into the place where we are demonstrating the glory of God. So who are you? Why are you here? What's your destiny? How do you find out? First thing, you need to be reconnected to God and born again. So if you do not know God here today, don't leave this building without asking someone to pray with you so you surrender your life to God. Because you can know God and start to engage your destiny day one now. Get your past forgiven and wiped out and get a new future. It's your inheritance, but you have to take it. Surrender to our destiny so that we can be restored to original creation. Okay, I'm just going to give you 10 quick things and I won't explain them, all right? Set your heart towards it. If you want your destiny, you have to set your heart towards it. Set your desire upon it and pursue it. Pursue your desire. Intimacy to hear, see, feel, and experience who you are. The sound and frequency of the song of heaven need to start to resonate and come into agreement, to come into harmony with the whole symphony of heaven. It's a wonderful sound in the heavenly realms. We can come into harmony and actually form, not all the same, all our song and our destiny. Believe in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We just have to believe. Engage that desire. Step into alignment. Submit our lives to the government of God, the Lordship of Jesus, and purposely live for the unraveling of your scroll. Do not be content until you see it, until you're living according to it. Don't be content with second best. Go for your destiny. You need to know things. I need to know things. I need to know the testimony that's written in heaven for me. I need to know the power of the blood of Jesus, the revelation of my sonship. I need to know the courts in the heavenly realms, the thrones, the gardens, the treasure room, record room, wine room, mantle room, etc., and all the other places I've been and other people have been. I need to know. I will not fulfill my destiny if I do not live in the dual realms of heaven and earth and manifest earth, heaven on earth through me. But I need to know what's in heaven to manifest it here, and I need to know the authority that I have there to bring that rule here. We also do that corporately as a church, hence God giving us revelation of the mountains and the thrones that we have to rule on. That's it. Okay, I know there's a lot of material there, but you can get the MP3 file and go over it. But it's your destiny. Pursue it with everything you've got. Okay.